Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those both in person, here with us today, and online. Wherever you are coming from, whatever you are bringing with you from this week, we pray you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. We have a few announcements this morning. Please plan to join us following worship on January 25th for the annual congregational meeting. And then today, please join us following worship in Holman Hall for fellowship and refreshments. Now let's prepare our hearts for worship. Please rise as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
We made heaven and earth.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving.
And extol him with music and song.
Glory to God. same God who has gathered us to worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life, it's gone. The new life has begun. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Since we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, let us be reconciled to one another, sharing the peace only Christ can give. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
You are invited to share signs of God's peace with those around you.
It's the mold.
Thank you.
I would invite you to be seated. I want to make an apology for my voice today. The warm weather and the rain and the mold and the flowers from yesterday's memorial service have hit me head on and are wrecking my sinuses, so please forgive me for that. I would invite any children forward now for our children's message.
Hey, friends. Hey. Well, we're going to read a story today called God Rescues Me. So we're going to start here. What is the gospel? Explain it to me. Let's shout it together when I count to three. One, two, three. Good news. Can you shout that with me? One, two, I'm sorry. When I count to three. One, two, three.
Good news.
Gospel means good news. The good news of Jesus, God's Son, the Savior of sinners who rules everyone. King Jesus rules over both your life and mine. We're made for his glory and from his design. But we have not worshiped or bowed to our king. We'd rather be worshiped and rule everything. Our problem is sin, bringing death to our heart. We need a new heart, a new life, a new start. We can't save ourselves from this death or from sin. King Jesus alone can give new hearts within. Like a pure lamb, he was killed in our place. Now we're forgiven. Our sins are erased. Like a strong hero defeating the grave, he rescues our souls as we trust him to save. Like a good shepherd, he knows all his sheep. He finds us and leads us. Our souls he will keep. Like a high priest, he knows all that we need. He prays to protect us. Before God, he pleads. But how do we know that he's rescued our soul? We trust him to save us, to make our hearts whole. We tell him we're sinners and ask him to save. We praise him with thanks for the life that he gave. So that's the good news of King Jesus, God's Son. He's Savior to sinners and rules everyone. Now we raise up our hands and we shout out with joy, the gospel of Christ is for each girl and boy. You've rescued us once and you daily forgive. You'll rescue your own till in heaven we live. So what is the gospel? Explain it to me. Let's shout it together when I count to three. One, two, three.
Good news.
The gospel means good news. The good news of Jesus, God's Son, the Savior of sinners who rules everyone. Because he's our shepherd, our high priest, our king, our lamb, and our hero, to him our hearts sing. We praise you, Lord Jesus, and can't wait to be with you. We can't wait to be with you, our dear Savior, who loves and rescues me. Can you see yourself in there? Can you see yourself in there? Can you see yourself in there? The end. Okay, let's pray together. Can I see your prayer hands? This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for showing us.
The good news
of Jesus Christ,
for us.
Help us to live, showing your love to everyone we meet. In his name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
Let's turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you who spoke your word to us in Jesus Christ and preserved throughout the centuries a record of your word for us, send now your Holy Spirit to open our ears, hearts, minds, and lives, that we may hear again and ever anew your word to us. Amen. Pardon me. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, starting in the 15th verse. We're beginning a new sermon series this week called Gospel Living. And what I hope you'll see by the end of our sermon today is that the gospel is not just something we think or believe or proclaim, but it is something that roots itself deep down inside of us and affects the very way that we live. And so with that in mind, let us turn to God's word and listen. Paul says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth, and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law." I'm so sorry. "But if in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. The grass withers and the flower fades, and our voices fail, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Apostle Paul had a problem. The Galatian Christians whom he had ministered to for many years were reported to have turned from the good news of Jesus Christ and to a false gospel. They were wooed by a group of believers, Paul calls them Judaizers, who taught that to be accepted by God, one must believe in Jesus and fulfill the works of the law, the Jewish law, namely circumcision. To a church in Galatia, which was mainly Gentile in nature, this meant that they would have to adopt Jewish ethnic practices to be considered part of God's people. And this was, in a way, tempting, because it meant that they could do something. They could show the world how pious they really were. They could do something to make themselves acceptable in God's sight. Yet Paul maintained throughout it all that the gospel cannot be Jesus plus anything. There is nothing that one can do to gain God's favor, but instead, we must accept the good news of God for us. Now, if this seems like we're talking about inside baseball and how does this affect our daily living, I'm with you there. Because as we view this conflict through our sort of postmodern society's eyes, we come to this thinking of, you know, what's the big deal? This is just like a difference of opinion, like some tomato and some tomato, right? Let people do what they want. What's the harm? But this conflict was not merely an intellectual issue, for it was affecting their relationships. It was affecting how they lived together. Because there was, according to the Judaizers, something that you could do to be more accepted by God, fulfilling the law, the Galatians started to divide themselves into this sort of tiered system of greater Christians and lesser Christians. Maybe you've heard about it. These days, we might call them lukewarm Christians versus on fire Christians. The community of faith, as a result, became characterized by bitterness, selfishness, enmity, and self-righteousness. They began to be so enthralled in proving that they were the better Christians that there were constant quarrels and factions butting heads. The Galatians were, as Paul describes them in chapter 5, they were devouring each other, being consumed by one another in hate. It was the quintessential toxic church. That's what we call it now. What they believed was having a direct effect on how they lived and how they related to each other and to the world. Their constant self-justification, trying to prove themselves to be these greater, better Christians, pitted them against each other. This false gospel of Jesus plus had not given way to love, but to hate. It was not giving life, but dealing death. Paul, on the other hand, proclaimed that the true gospel of God's undeserved, unmerited grace in Jesus would lead to a way of life not marked by hate, but by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The gospel of Jesus Christ would have a direct, positive effect on how they lived together. It would shape every aspect of their lives. Now, we know this instinctually to be true, that what you truly believe will shape how you act. And we can sense, and I think most of us, we can sense when somebody speaks one way and acts the other. We can see when especially, I think, religious leaders put on one face, but behind the mask are doing something totally different. We call them hypocrites, which comes from the Greek for an actor or one who wears a mask. And if we're honest, the world is tired of religious hypocrites, those who purport to be gospel people who look prim and proper on the outside, yet are later revealed to be scandalous. Now, this is an extreme, but I think even in truly gospel churches, we can unintentionally misrepresent the good news in such a way that it leads to subtle, ungospel responses. Sam Alberry, a pastor in Nashville, he tells the story of a time he bumped into a member who was going through a hard time and hadn't been to church in a while. When he said that he hoped that they would see her again soon and that they wanted to welcome her back, she responded that she couldn't come until she was doing better. She said this, "I'm waiting until the storm passes, and I've got things back together enough to be able to walk into a church building. Sam said her words were heartbreaking to hear. Somehow the message had been communicated to this woman that church is for those who have their lives together, who have all their ducks in a row, who aren't messy at all, that it's not a community of redemption for the lost and the broken. It was unintentional. And obviously, their gospel doctrine, what they were proclaiming, was not spilling over into their life as a community, and something needed to change. You see, gospel doctrine, what we proclaim, and gospel living, how we act, are not separate. Good doctrine, good proclamation should lead to loving, faithful living. Living that is not rooted in self-justification, trying to make ourselves look perfect and pious, but rooted in the unmerited, undeserved grace given to us in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to be careful here because you might be hearing me say that we just need to be better at Christian living in order to be true Christians. But that in itself is another form of self-justification. Instead, what I'm suggesting is that the good news of Jesus, when we truly understand it, when we truly receive it, will automatically shape us into gospel people. And it will show up in the ways that we live together, especially as a community of faith. Because the good news is not some kind of self-help regimen, not a moral facelift, a way to make ourselves look proper, nor loyalty points towards the reward of a lifetime. The gospel is the radical announcement that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were unacceptable, disloyal, immoral, set against good, Christ came to be for us. He loved us who were unlovable and gave himself for us. By grace, through faith, we have been crucified with Christ. And knowing that we've been given what we don't deserve, are loved even when we're unlovable, are forgiven before we ever made any move to change, we now live a crucified life, seeking to bring all aspects of our living under the freedom and the mercy of the cross. We live to say with St. Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So as a church, as Hebron, we are called to bridge our gospel doctrine into our life together, that every aspect of our community, from the moment you walk in the doors, from the moment you greet your neighbor, the moment that you go to fellowship, every aspect of our life together would exude gospel truth. That all who see us would know something of God's free grace. So over these next couple of weeks, we will be exploring just how the gospel seeps into all areas of our common life, where Christ is calling us to embody, to put boots on the ground, so to speak, of the good news. And with the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can be transformed into that community where sinners are welcomed, the weary find rest, and the unlovable find the one who loves them beyond measure. Paul called the Galatians back to basics, back to the gospel, knowing that it would renew their life together. And in doing so, he demonstrated the truth that the good news of Christ for us cannot help but reshape our lives so that we are shaped like the one crucified and risen. So may we receive this good news, and may we, with God's help, live the crucified life together. Amen.
Amen.
Responding to God's word, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Nicene Creed. Christians, what do we believe?
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We have the pleasure today of ordaining a new ruling elder, and so I would invite Tom Doyle, who's coming, to come up to the front. Hear these words from Scripture. There are varieties of gifts,
but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through each person in a unique way, but it is God's purpose that is accomplished. To each is given a gift of the Spirit to be used for the common good. Together we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We are all called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. This is our common calling, to be disciples of Jesus Christ and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the church, some are called to particular service as deacons, as ruling elders, and as ministers of word and sacrament, also called teaching elders. Ordination is Christ's gift to the church, assuring that his ministry will continue among us. Through ordination, God provides for acts of care and compassion in the world, for the ordering and governing of his church, and for the preaching of the word and the celebration of the sacraments.
Representing the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the session of Hebron Presbyterian Church now ordains Tom Doyle to the office of ruling elder.
Tom, in baptism you were claimed by the love of God, clothed in the grace of Jesus Christ, and anointed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit to share Christ's mission in the world. Now you are called by God, through the voice of this church, to new service and ministry in Jesus' name. In accordance with the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church USA, show your commitment to this calling by responding to these questions. Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge him, Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal, and God's word to you? Do you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you?
I do and I will.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you?
I will, with God's help.
Will you be governed by our church's polity? And will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and Spirit? Will you?
I will.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you?
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you?
I will.
Will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in the councils of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
Do we, the members of the church, accept Tom as a ruling elder, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation, to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Do we agree to pray for Tom, to encourage him, to respect his decisions, and to follow as he guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church?
We do.
I invite you to kneel at this time. And I invite all of those who have been ordained as ruling elders in the Presbyterian Church and as ministers of word and sacrament to come forward to lay hands upon Tom. Past or present, and in any church. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, with joy we give you thanks and praise. Throughout the ages and in every place, you have chosen servants from among your people to point the way to salvation by your grace. We are grateful for ancestors in the faith who followed without fear, placing their trust in you alone, for judges and monarchs who ruled in righteousness and peace, for prophets and apostles who spoke your bold words of mercy and truth, for leaders and teachers in every age who have nurtured your people in faith and faithfulness. Above all, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who came not to be served but to serve, and to give his life to set others free. Anointed by your Holy Spirit, he proclaimed your reign on earth, revealing your saving love in all he said and did. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon your servant Tom, whom you called by baptism as your own. Grant him the same mind that is in Christ Jesus. Help him to rely on the gifts of your Spirit and to follow Christ faithfully in this calling. Give him a spirit of truthfulness, that he may show the compassion of Christ in the actions of daily living and rightly govern your people. By the gifts of your Holy Spirit, empower him to build up the church, to strengthen the common life of your people, and to lead with compassion and vision. In the walk of faith and for the work of ministry, give to all your servants gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility, humor, and courage, and an abiding sense of your presence. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit of power and truth upon the whole church, that we may be for you a holy people, baptized to serve you in the world. Sustain your church in ministry, ground us in the gospel, secure our hope in Christ, strengthen our service to the outcast, and increase our love for one another. Show us the transforming power of your grace in our life together, that we may be effective servants of your gospel, offering a compelling witness in the world to the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can stand there. Tom, you are now a ruling elder. A ruling elder, ordained to ministries of service and governance in the Church of Jesus Christ and installed for service in this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. Amen. Let's welcome Tom. Let us turn to God again in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, while we were still far off, lost and broken, you came to us in Jesus Christ. You redeemed and reconciled us to you. And now it is by your unmerited grace that we live, walking in the way of the cross. Renew us and shape us, O God, we pray, that our living together would always reflect the gift given to us freely in Jesus. And hear us now as we lift up the concerns and prayers of the church and of the world, each according to their need. Holy Father, you created the world in beauty and ordained humanity to live in harmony with creation, reflecting your glory. Yet we have turned from your design and plunge the world into the darkness by our warring madness. We lament the loss of life around the world. We lament the loss of life at the hands of those who were called to serve. We lament the ways that we justify violence, hate, and greed. Break in, holy God. Deliver us and make us whole. Help us, your people, to be agents of your peace, working for a world where all are known and cared for and loved. Help us, O God, deliver and save. Holy Son, by your death on the cross, you have broken the power of sin, and by your resurrection, you have raised us to new life. As we have been crucified with you, help us to witness to your reconciling love in word and in deed. Bless your church around the world and empower us to be vessels of your Spirit, proclaiming the good news to every tribe and tongue, nation and people. Empower us, whom you have called Hebron, that we may keep in step with the Spirit and discern the fresh expressions of your mission in this community and even to the ends of the earth. As we have ordained new leaders and as we welcome your guidance in the governance of this church, we pray that you would always point us towards Christ, who goes ahead of us, reconciling all to you. Holy Spirit, you are the healing balm of all who suffer. We lift to you this day all who need your restoring presence, and we name them in the quiet of our hearts. Renew, uplift, and heal, O Holy Spirit, all for the sake of your glory. O thrice holy God, to you we lift our concerns and prayers, trusting that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine, trusting in your promise that you are with us and for us. For we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Rest upon you.
us pray. O gracious God, we remember the gifts that you pour out upon us in abundance, and especially the gift of your Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. And so we return these gifts as a token of our gratitude and faith. Bless them that they may be used for your glory. Help us to be good stewards of the same, so that your church may be built up, your gospel proclaimed, and your name glorified. Through Christ we pray. Amen. From this place to love and serve the Lord, walking the crucified life, being servants after our servant Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace, this day, always, forever. Amen.
Amen.